The following is distributed by the Berean Call.
Welcome. You're listening to the audio version of the Berean Call newsletter. I'm Tom McMahon, TBC's executive director. This month's feature article titled Roadmap to Armageddon was written by and will be read by Dave Hunt. And now, here's Dave.
Thanks, Tom. The quartet of Bush, Putin, UN, and EU is determined through a division of land to bring a, quote, just and lasting peace, unquote, into the Middle East between Israel and her neighbors. Assuming they are sincere and not just working for their own interests, their mental state must be on a par with those who gave the Nobel Peace Prize to Yasser Arafat, a mass murderer, habitual liar, and the world's leading terrorist who has done more than anyone to destroy world peace. How thankful the West should be that Al Gore, who repeatedly as vice president warmly received Arafat into the White House, is not there now as president. In fact, Muhammad, whose word cannot be changed, imposed upon every Muslim in every age the duty of exterminating all Jews. Only then can the, quote, last day, unquote, the climax of Islam, arrive. That fact makes peace between Israel and Muslims impossible, ever. Any apparent peace agreement signed by Muslim leaders are not worth the ink in their signatures. In the 10 years prior to the signing of the Oslo Accords, 211 Israelis were killed by terrorists. In the 10 years since, about 1,200 have been killed and 5,000 wounded. No Arab, Muslim, political, or religious leader can contradict Islam's founding prophet. Thus, to continue to pursue a negotiated peace in the Middle East is the height of folly. Yet Western political and religious leaders continue to hold out that vain hope and to force concessions upon Israel that pave the road to her destruction. Modern Israel occupies a relatively small piece of land. Arabs possess 700 times as much, with vast amounts of oil and minerals. Why are they determined to possess tiny Israel too? Islam says it belongs to them. A sovereign Jewish state proves that Muhammad was a false prophet and that Allah is not God. Muslims must destroy Israel. Both the Bible and Quran agree that 4,000 years ago, God gave the promised land to Abraham and his Israeli descendants. Yet the Arabs claim ownership through Ishmael, Abraham's first son. But God declared that not Ishmael, but Isaac, who would be born to Sarah, was the son and heir he had promised. Genesis 17:15-21. Like his father, Isaac also had two sons, Esau and Jacob. And again, the Lord rejected the firstborn and gave the inheritance to the second. So the inheritance flows from Abraham to Isaac and on to Jacob, whose name God changed to Israel. 12 times Yahweh calls himself, quote, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, unquote, declaring, quote, this is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations, unquote, Exodus 3:15. More than 200 times, from Exodus 5:1 to Luke 1:68, Yahweh is called the God of Israel. Muslims claim that the Bible was corrupted by later revisions. However, the Bible's thousands of manuscripts, historical and prophetic accuracy, and the intricate integration of themes from Genesis to Revelation, none of which the Quran can boast, reduce such a claim to nonsense. Furthermore, the Quran itself supports what the Bible says concerning Israel's claim to the promised land. Quote, we made a covenant of old with the children of Israel, unquote. That is Surah 570 in the Quran. Quote, we brought the children of Israel across the Red Sea, and Pharaoh with his hosts pursued them, unquote, Surah 10:91. Quote, but we drowned him and those with him all together, and we said unto the children of Israel, dwell in the land, and hereafter we shall bring you out of various nations, unquote. Surah 17, verses 103 and 104. Quote, we delivered the children of Israel from Pharaoh. We chose them purposely above all creatures. Unquote. Surah 44, verses 30 through 32. Quote, favored them above all peoples. Unquote. Surah 45, 16. Quote, remember Allah's favor to you. He gave you what he gave no other of his creatures. O my people, go into the holy land which Allah hath ordained for you, unquote. Surah 95, verses 20 and 21. And there are other similar verses in the Quran. The territory God gave to Abram, who was later renamed Abraham by God, and to his descendants, was not Palestine, but Canaan, quote, into the land of Canaan they came, unquote. Genesis 12, 5 and 6. There were no Palestinians from whom those who take that name today claim to be descended. Quote, the Canaanite and Perizzite dwelled then in the land, unquote. Genesis 13, 7. Abram remained there the rest of his life. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, unquote. That's 13:12. God told him, quote, for all the land to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever, unquote. That's 13:15. Quote, all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, unquote. Genesis 17:8. Abram settled in Hebron in Canaan and built there an altar to the Lord. That is to Yahweh. That's chapter 13, verse 18. This altar was not to Allah. 10 years later, Ishmael, the product of Abraham's and Sarah's unbelief, was born to him through Sarah's maid Hagar. 14 years later, when Abraham was 100 years old and Sarah 90, Isaac was born in Hebron to Abraham by his wife Sarah, exactly as God had promised. 37 years later, at the age of 127, Sarah died. Abraham was still living in Hebron, having been there more than 70 years. To bury Sarah, he bought the cave of Machpelah from Ephron the Hittite. That's chapter 23, verses 1 through 20. 38 years later, at the age of 175, Abraham died. Isaac and Ishmael buried him in Machpelah next to Sarah. Isaac lived in Hebron 110 more years. Isaac, Rebekah, Jacob, and Leah were also buried in the cave of Machpelah. Abraham had entered Canaan 400 years after the flood and 300 years after the Tower of Babel. It was sparsely settled. The land was his for the taking, and he, Isaac, Jacob, and their families lived there more than 300 years before temporarily moving to Egypt to escape a famine. There, in Egypt, for 400 years, they were slaves, just as God had said, until the Canaanites became so wicked that he was forced to destroy them. God used Israel for that task, giving them Canaan as an everlasting heritage. Genesis 15, 13 through 16, as he had promised. God referred to Isaac as Abraham's, quote, only son, unquote, Genesis 22, 2. Thus, Ishmael was not buried in Machpelah, but where he had settled far away, having, quote, died in the presence of all his brethren, unquote, Genesis 25, 17 and 18. No Arab or Muslim was ever buried in Machpelah. Arabs can't claim a pure descent from Ishmael. Ishmaelites intermarried with Midianites, Judges 8, 5, 12, 22, and 24, with Edomites, Genesis 28, 9, and with Hittites, Genesis 26, 34, and chapter 36, 1 through 4. In contrast, during 400 years as slaves in Egypt, the Israelites became an identifiable ethnic people who were led en masse into Canaan. We know who they are today. Denying Israel's God-given heritage, Yitzhak Rabin, who had secretly promised Clinton he would give up the Golan, declared, quote, "The Bible is not a geography book," unquote. Shortly thereafter, he was assassinated, preventing him from giving to Syria the most strategically vital part of Israel. It was not Arabs, but Hebrews, who settled in ancient Hebron in all of Canaan, creating Israel, whose kings ruled from Jerusalem over an empire stretching from the Sinai to the Euphrates. Around 600 BC, they were conquered by the Babylonians and scattered to many nations. Chased out of their land under God's judgment in the Babylonian dispersion, and later twice by the Romans, numbers of Jews always returned. This despised people continued living in Israel under the oppressive heel of various occupying foreign invaders for another 2,500 years. On May 14, 1948, Israel declared itself an independent nation once again. The Jews once more possessed their own land, as God had promised, but only that small fraction of it that had been allotted by the UN petition on November 29, 1947. In contrast, the Arabs never lived in Canaan, but settled in the Arabian Peninsula. Not until the 7th century AD, through the Islamic invasions, did Arabs come in any significant numbers into the land of Israel, which, in AD 135, the Romans had angrily renamed Syria-Palestina after Israel's chief enemy, the Philistines. The so-called Palestinians of today are Arabs, whose ancestors came from Arabia. They are a Semitic people with no relationship either to the Canaanites or the Philistines, who were not Semites. It is a blatant lie that today's Palestinians, who at the same time claim descent from Ishmael, are descended from the original inhabitants of the land of Canaan, which God promised to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and their heirs. David was first crowned king in Hebron and ruled there 7 years before moving his throne to Jerusalem. This ancient city has no significance to Arabs, Muslims, yet they have built a mosque at Machpelah, have forbidden access to Jews, and at various times in history have massacred Jews living there. Today, Muslims are attempting to force out the few remaining Jews. They claim all of, quote, Palestine, unquote, and state that Israelis are occupying land that belongs to them. And this fraud is the foundation for a so-called roadmap to peace. President Bush, as a Christian, ought to tremble at God's solemn warning that he will destroy all who divide his land. Joel 3:2. Yes, his land. Quote, "The land shall not be sold or traded forever, for the land is mine," unquote. Leviticus 25:23. Quartet, take heed. You are defying the God of Israel and will not escape unpunished. Those who make peace, quote unquote, by taking land from Israel, which God gave her, will be destroyed. Quote, all that burden themselves with it, that is Jerusalem and Israel, shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it, unquote. Zechariah 12:3. On September 13, 1993, under the triumphant gaze of a smiling President Clinton, Arafat signed with Yitzhak Rabin the Oslo Accords on the White House lawn. The ink was scarcely dry when Arafat began publicly apologizing in Arabic to Muslims around the world. In fear for his life, remember Anwar Sadat's murder by fellow Muslims, for making peace with Israel, Arafat pleaded that he was only following the example of Muhammad and the Islamic law he established. In AD 628, Muhammad led a few of his followers, these were recent converts to the new religion of Islam, he led them from Medina back to Mecca, hoping to join thousands of pagan Arabs in the Hajj. This annual pilgrimage to the Kaaba, Islam incredibly claims it was built by Abraham and Ishmael, with its elaborate ceremonies, had been practiced by pagan Arab tribes for centuries before Muhammad was born. He was turned back by the Meccans, but both parties signed a 10-year ceasefire known as the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, as part of which Muhammad relinquished his claim to being, quote, the prophet of Allah, unquote. This treaty allowed Muhammad the next year, that's AD 629, to lead a group of Muslims in the Hajj. They joined thousands of infidel Arabs in the same pagan ceremonies that their ancestors had practiced for centuries. See the Brian Call Q&A for July 2003 for the rituals. In 630, that's the next year, Muhammad broke the ceasefire on a pretext and took over Mecca. At first, he allowed pagan Arabs to continue in the Hajj, mingling with the new Muslims in the ancient rituals. Then he gave the pagans 4 months in which to convert to Islam or be killed. Thereafter, no non-Muslims were allowed into Mecca, as is true today. So it is with Ramadan, which President Bush, like previous U.S. presidents, and other Western leaders naively honor as a, quote, holy Muslim holiday, unquote. Beginning with the first sighting of the new moon in the ninth month of the Muslim lunar calendar, Ramadan was celebrated by pagan Arabs in honor of Allah, the moon god, for centuries before Islam. To the Hajj and Ramadan, Muhammad added the horror of jihad and commanded Muslims to take over the world. That belief has cost millions of innocent lives and drives terrorism today. Those promoting the roadmap to peace are following a history of good intentions on the part of Israel and the West, which invariably have been betrayed by the Arabs, Muslims, and have steadily made Israel's position more untenable. American presidents, one after another, have cajoled Israel into compromise after compromise with Arab Muslim leaders that could only have been uproarious jokes as far as the latter were concerned. Always the good intentions of Israel and the West have led only to their further humiliation. Pursuing their impossible peace initiatives, world leaders defy the God of Israel and of the Bible as the, quote, heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing, and the kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, unquote, Psalm 2, verses 1 and 2. Those with, quote, ears to hear, unquote, Deuteronomy 29:4, Ezekiel 12:2, Matthew 11:15 and 13:9, and so forth. They detect the terrifying sound of laughter, quote, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision, unquote, Psalm 2, verse 4. We are in the late stages of the awesome fulfillment of Bible prophecy, behind which lies the omnipotent hand of God himself, quote, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about, when they shall be in the siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem, unquote, Zechariah 12, verses 2 and 3. That remarkable prophecy is being fulfilled today. Never before in history have all those surrounding Israel been united to destroy her. This significant development in history and Bible prophecy has come about through the rise of Islam. Bush wants a, quote, democratic, viable, unquote, Palestinian state living in peace with Israel. but no democracy exists or can exist in a Muslim society. Israel is the only democracy in the Middle East. Bush is trying to create democracy in Afghanistan and Iraq. If that could happen, it would shake the entire Muslim world. Islam cannot survive in freedom. No wonder there is such fanatical opposition from Muslims worldwide, even for the capture of that sadistic mass torture and murder, Saddam Hussein. Muslims hold 80% of the world's political prisoners. America's precipitous withdrawal from Lebanon 20 years ago, fleeing from known Syrian-Iranian-sponsored terrorists, instead of pursuing them, encouraged the terrorism rampant today worldwide. Can Bush really, with terrorist partners, stand up against the evil of terrorism? When will he admit that terrorism is endemic to Islam? Will the strategic or politically correct time ever come for telling the truth? It remains to be seen whether the U.S. can eliminate terrorism when our State Department secretly opposes Israel and favors Arabs. The Bible foretells a false peace by which Antichrist will, quote, destroy many, unquote. That's Daniel 8, verses 24 and 25. Tragically, Israel will be deceived, tear down the security wall now being built, and drop its guard, opening the door to the time of Jacob's trouble, Jeremiah 30, verse 7, and Armageddon, Ezekiel 38, 11, 12, 14, and 16. Two-thirds of all Jews worldwide will be killed, Zechariah 13, 8, and 9. Those who survive will believe in Christ and be saved when he rescues them, and they recognize the crucified, resurrected Lord as their Messiah and God. Zechariah 12:10, Matthew 24:13, Romans 11:25 and 26. We must not abandon Afghanistan or Iraq. I receive letters from missionaries there who say, quote, "The minute the American and British troops pull out, we are dead," unquote. It is time for Christians to pray as never before and to do all they can to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to both Muslims and Jews.